Chapter 9. Jericho was descending into hell. Well, more like an Atlantean hell realm called Colossus. But still, why argue tit for tat? Hell was hell, no matter the pantheon. Delphine had stayed behind with Phobos after much argument, but Asheron had agreed that the fewer people asking, the better chance they would have. Stryker and his wife Zephyra would respect a single emissary. Two or more they might consider lunch. Tori led Jericho down a black marble hallway, holding a light stick over her head. It reflected off the walls with an eerie luminescence that would be haunting if he were human. As it was, he found their distorted images fascinating. They were heading toward Stryker's reception hall. Since Asheron couldn't come here without starting the apocalypse, Tori had volunteered to guide Jericho and make the introductions. Apparently, part of Asheron's duties as Harbinger was to release his mother from her prison, which happened to be the realm they were in. If Asheron so much as made a tiny appearance here, his mother would go free and destroy the world, so he could never see her. Would have been tragic if Jericho were capable of feeling sympathy for someone else. He could appreciate it, but, frankly, he didn't care. Tori smiled at him.
"It's really noble of you to risk so much for the Onoroi." Jericho snorted.
"I don't give two shits about the Onoroi. My plan was to fight against them with Noir, but he decided it would be easier to sic the Galu on me and control me that way. He declared this war, and I'll be damned if I'm going to let the Galu attack me in my sleep. I've spent enough of my life with other people in control of me. I won't spend one more moment that way. Noir wants a fight, I'm going to give him one. And I will not lose."
Tori let out a slow breath.
"I forgot you're the son of Styx and Pallas."
He inclined his head to her.
"Yeah, and I'm full of both their venom. Don't start no shit, won't be no shit. My goal is to get the Onoroi and Skothai back on their feet and then take out the Galu as quickly as possible. After that, it's open season on the Olympians."
"Does that include Delphine?"
He saw red at the mention of her name. Delphine was something he had no intention of discussing with anyone.
"She's none of your business."
Tori gave him a placating look.
"Sorry, I wasn't trying to offend or pry. I was just pointing out that you seem to care for her."
Yeah, but the problem was he didn't understand why. One touch, one whisper, and he was undone by her. Why Delphine, when no one else had ever made him feel like this? What was it about her that cut through his anger and made him feel warm, human, whole? In all these centuries, he had never felt like he did whenever she touched him. She held more power in a single caress than any entity he'd ever known. She alone had the power to bring him to his knees. Unwilling to think about it, he changed the subject.
"How is it you're able to come and go from this realm?"
It seemed odd that Stryker would tolerate her here.
"My mother-in-law gave me total freedom to visit her whenever the urge strikes me, especially since Ash can't come. While Stryker might want to bind me in chains and feed me to his daemons, he wouldn't dare. Apollyme can be a little hard to defeat."
"And yet Apollyme tolerates you?"
She smiled.
"She hates humans but adores her son. There's nothing she wouldn't do for Asheron."
"Except leave the humans alone."
"Well, there is that."
She walked down the glistening hallway with one hand on the wall.
"I know it doesn't make any sense, but she declared war on the humans and refuses to back off. However, Ash and anyone he loves is supposed to be immune from the daemons she controls."
There was a note in her voice that set off Jericho's alarms.
"Supposed to be?"
Her expression turned dark and sad, letting him know that she felt very deeply for all involved.
"Nick's mother was very close to Ash. She died from a daemon attack a few years ago, which is why Ash and Nick are now at war with each other. Nick blames Ash for it and won't let it go. It's very sad, really, and breaks my heart to see them fight. But I'm told they're getting better, which concerns me. If what they have now is better, I'd hate to see it worse.
She drew up short as a blonde woman cut off their path.
Petite and lithe, and dressed in a black leather catsuit and corset, the woman narrowed a vicious glare at them.
"What are you doing here snooping around, Tori?"
Instead of reacting to the woman's angry tone, Tori cocked her head. "I don't think I was snooping. It didn't feel like a snoop. I have snooped before and can honestly say this isn't it."
The woman glared at her.
"Relax, Medea," she said in a calm, even tone. "We've come to see your mother."
She narrowed her eyes.
"Your funeral."
Tori smiled good-naturedly.
"It's always so good to see you two. You're just such a ray of happy sunshine. I so look forward to all our interactions."
Medea sneered at her.
"You should be glad you helped save my life. It's the only reason you're alive right now."
Tori snorted.
"And my living."